And tonight, last night was great, but that's recorded in the books of eternity. But God, whatever you send us tonight, we're grateful that we want to praise you right now for what you send. Help your man, lift him up, give him preaching strength. God, let him preach like a God-called man likes to preach, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, preacher. Let's take our Bibles tonight, and we're going back to the Old Testament, the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, and I'll be reading this evening out of chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. On Sunday evening, we were in Mark chapter 1, the baptism of our Lord. And there was a dove involved in the text. Last night, we were in Numbers chapter 11. Israel got to murmuring and grumbling and complaining. God dealt with the issue. There was a bird in that text, the quails. You'll remember, I trust. And in like fashion, in this 1 Kings 17 text, there will be another of the birds of the Bible. I'll begin reading at verse 1, and I would like to read down through verse number 8. Verses 1 through 8. And I have again, I got my Bible right here with me in the pulpit, but I've enlarged my text a little bit, and I'll refer to the verses probably in this manner. 1 Kings 17, 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, this would be King Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I, the Lord, I have commanded the ravens, there they are, the birds, the ravens, to feed thee there. So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan. Verse 6, only going to read through verse 8. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. That's a beautiful story, isn't it? It's more than a story, it's fact. A miracle of God. But look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook, you tell me, what did the brook do? The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord, came unto him, unto Elijah, saying, it's as far as I'm going to read. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, you may be seated, and I appreciate you standing as I read the Word of God. What's on my heart tonight is to discuss these verses with you as we've come together in meeting. Honestly, I'm not absolutely positive what I'm going to say yet. All I've got's my scripture. That's all I'm going to go by. Don't intend to drift one way or another. And we're going to see what this text has for us. I'm convinced the Holy Ghost is here. He promised He would be. We'll see if God can feed us from this paragraph of Scripture. Are y'all ready? Verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite. I want to pause just a minute and talk about him. Did y'all know this is the first time in the Bible that we meet Elijah? So interesting. With many of the Bible characters, we see their birth, a little bit about their parentage, see them grow up to some degree. We did with Samson. We did with John the Baptist. Certainly with Elijah, but not Elijah. It's just, bam, there he is. He appears like a meteor streaking through the midnight sky. Suddenly, he shows up, this man of God, Elijah. I need to say this before I maybe even go further in my verses. Israel, Elijah's nation, the Jews, are right now in this text at perhaps their lowest point in all of their history. More backslidden, further away from Almighty God. I was studying for this message, and old Alexander McLaren, I love to go to him, for he's so quotable. He said this, maybe I'll get an amen. He said, isn't it neat how God can send His best men in the worst times? He can send His best men in the worst times. I do know this, God's always prepared for whatever's coming. Elijah. Let me talk about his name a minute, Elijah. It's interesting. The L in Elijah, the E-L, most of you know it. That's God's name, Elohim. God's name that represents might and power. Elijah, E-L, Elijah. The J-A-H on the end of his name, Elijah, that's God's name, Yah, J-A-H, pronounced Yah. Here's what Elijah means. I hope somebody will smile. Elohim is Jehovah. Elohim is used 2,600, just in excess of 2,600 times in the Old Testament. Jehovah about 6,535 times in the Old Testament. The two most often used names of God blended together, Elijah. Could I say something? His mama and daddy sure did know how to name a boy. Elijah. He's well named. Lives up to his name. Just for information's sake, shouldn't be preaching it, I guess. There's another Old Testament prophet whose name reverses Elijah's name. His name is not Elohim Jehovah. His name is Jehovah Elohim. Let me give you his name. Joel, the Old Testament prophet Joel. It's important. I'm just going to get an amen and go on what your name means. As a Christian, if you don't know, you ought to leave here tonight and go home and get your Bible, get you a means of finding out what your name means, turning the meaning of that name into something that can help you live for God. Then we ought to leave here, get me a name, and live up to our names. It's important, I think. Elijah. And Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah the Tishbite. Brother Bagel, can you tell me something about the Tishbite? Really, I can't. I have studied every source on whom I can lay my hands, and invariably, let's say we don't know. We can't identify it. We can't locate it. It's just an absolute unknown quantity. Elijah the Tishbite in the history of this man of God. I wish I knew how to handle that. I wish I knew how to preach that. But I think I can say this. In God's dealings with every one of his men, in God's dealings with every one of his children, there's some unknown quantities. There's some unknown things. We can't even explain it ourselves. Can I get an amen? But he knows what he's doing with us. You can't explain everything. You can't understand everything. But it's in the hands of an omniscient God. I learned a long time ago, a valid answer to a Bible question is this: I don't know. And why in the world do we fake it and bluster on? There's some things we'll never know till we get to glory, if we know it then. He's Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. We do know something there. Gilead. Here's Israel. Gilead is across the Jordan River. It's over on the east part of the geography of the Holy Land. It's north of where the Moabites live. It's south of the land of Bashan. Gilead means rocky. Rocky. It's a hard, unforgiving part of that area, of that land. And it's emblematic, it's literal too. He was of Gilead, but it's symbolic of the training that God sent him through. God sent Elijah through, would somebody nod at me, old-fashioned Holy Ghost boot camp, if I can use that. Put him through some hard, vigorous times. I think I'll say it this way, probably won't get an amen. Elijah was no sissy. He'd been raised in a rough and rugged environment, and God knew what he was doing as he developed and as he brought his man. Out of the blue, out of nowhere, here he is, Elijah, the Tishbite, who is of the inhabitants of Gilead. Let's go on in verse 1. And Elijah said unto Ahab, he said unto Ahab, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time Elijah has ever laid eyes on King Ahab. King Ahab is the seventh king since Israel and Judah have split. Seventh king. On the side of Israel, every one of those kings had been evil. Every one of those kings had been ungodly, from Jeroboam now all the way down to Ahab. They had turned away from the things of God. That nation was getting more and more ungodly. Evil never improves itself. Evil men and seducers, Paul said, I need an amen, will wax worse and worse and worse. It's a downward spiral of sin. Ahab, his grandpa is Omri. He is of the Omri dynasty, the most wicked dynasty to that point. Ahab, he's an idolater. He's a worshiper of Baal. He's married to a woman named Jezebel. He's raising two boys that will apostate kings on the throne of Israel. They got a daughter named Athaliah who kills all the godly seed she can lay her hands on. And if God hadn't worked a miracle, what havoc she would have wreaked on the people of God. This man is a wicked man. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? Ahab don't have any use for preachers. And he certainly has no tolerance for a preacher that'll stand up to him. Oh, he's got plenty of preachers. He's got them on the payroll. They're hirelings. They'll do anything he tells them to do. But he's fixing to meet, hope I get an amen, he's fixing to meet the exception to that crowd. I don't know what Ahab is doing that day. He may be out on a hunting expedition. He might be out, preacher, Under King Ahab's reign, Israel is prospering. They got more money than they've had in years and years. The gross national product is good. Everything seems to be going well. By the way, I'm glad I got a God who can bless me because I love Him. He can also send me through some hardships. But I'm telling you what, the devil knows how to bless his crowd sometimes too. And things are going well. I don't know what he's doing out there. He's got his bodyguards around him. They never went anywhere without him. He's got an entourage with him. And somebody said, who is that stranger coming up the road? Who is that fella out there by himself? And Ahab don't know it, but Ahab's fixing to come face to face with the nearest thing he's ever seen with a prophet of an almighty God. Confrontation is about to occur. Isn't it amazing how we'll preach it straight until we come up against somebody that doesn't believe it like we do, don't see it just like we do, and then we'll cut corners and compromise. I want to see how Elijah handles this meeting. I'm in verse 1. Elijah said unto Ahab, he didn't even bow. He didn't even say, oh, king, live forever. He didn't say it, but here's the attitude. Elijah would say to Ahab, you're the one I've been looking for. You're the one that needs this message. Think about it. What has Elijah been doing all the years of his life? We're fixing to find out a little bit about. He's been out there in the desert. He's been out there by himself. He's been out there being schooled and being groomed to do what God called him to do. He's fixing to do it, and he's fixing to do it well. Could I say something to every preacher in the house tonight? It's not getting any easier in America to stand like we ought to stand. I don't know what the future holds. There may be some difficult days ahead, but God give us a backbone. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, God give me a backbone like a saw log. Help me to stand strong and not be a compromiser. Oh, how we need to keep preaching the word in these days. I got to get back to Ahab. What was it he heard from the lips of this man of God, Elijah? As the Lord God, I'm in verse 1. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's not a long sermon. I don't even see how you preachers probably could. I don't even see how you subdivided into points. Didn't introduce himself. As the Lord God of Israel standeth, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, not going to be any rain, not going to be any dew for these years until according to my word. There are about three or four things I'd like to discuss here. Won't be no rain. Going to be years according to my word. Look at it. According to my word. Wouldn't you have thought Elijah would have said according to the word of God? Not going to be any rain. Going to be years of dryness here according to the word of God. But he didn't say according to the word of God. Tony, he said according to my word. I find when there's something I don't understand in the Bible, well, I get an amen. It's the weakness is on my end, not the word of God's end. And I've asked the Lord for help. I need some insight. Here's what I've come up with. He lived so close to God. He spent so much time in the presence of God. He was so sure he had the will of God on this it is not going to rain declaration that he didn't have to say according to the word of God. He knew he and God were in one mind and in one accord, and he could say according to my word. Could I get an amen? And no, he is saying it right. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be something to live so close to God? Wouldn't it be something to so abide in the Word of God that we could speak it knowing the authority and the power of God? I want that kind of power in my life and in my ministry, according to my word. But wait a minute, there's something else I want you to notice, and you seem to be noticing it well. No dew, no rain these years. If I had time, we best not take it. It's just melting away, the minutes are. I could take you back to two places in the Pentateuch where God said to Israel, if you disobey me, if you rebel against me, I will send drought. I will cut off the water. I'll cause the rain to quit. Heavens will be as brass, and your agricultural economy, everything's going to like God said he was going to do it. And, will I get an amen? God keeps his word. God keeps his word. Not going to be any dew, not going to be any rain these years, according to my word. Ahab's not used to hearing this. Nobody opposes Ahab. Remember, he wanted a fellow's vineyard one day. Real nice looking vineyard. I believe it belonged to Naboth. Naboth said, you ain't getting my vineyard. It's not for sale. It come down from my daddy and my grandpa, and you can't have it. But Ahab and his wife Jezebel figured out a way to lie. They figured out a way to kill, and he ended up, you don't tell King Ahab no, he'll kill you. You don't upset him. You don't tell him things aren't going to be going his way. And here comes this old-fashioned, Rick, country preacher. I think he had a great old big bony finger. He's a hairy-looking fella. He's dressed like the desert. And he pointed that finger in King Ahab's face, and he said, I just want to tell you the rain is over. Won't even be any dew. It's going to last for years. It's going to last till God Almighty has taught us. Boy, I'm glad for some preachers that'll stand. Hallelujah. Could I make an announcement? I can't preach it tonight. If something was wrong 30 years ago tonight, it's still wrong tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, what gave him the boldness to say to a wicked king, one of the most powerful men on earth, no rain, no dew. Ahab could have easily snapped a finger at an executioner could have taken the head off of Elijah the prophet. But he didn't. He didn't. By the way, I'm just going to say this because it's not... God knows how to protect his own. Hallelujah. What gave Ahab that boldness? What in the world equipped him to be able to stand up against... What gave Elijah that boldness? I misspoke. To be able to stand up against Ahab. Watch it. It's in my verse. I want to show it to you. Starts out in verse 1. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Lord God, that's Jehovah, that's Elohim. He's getting it all beautifully. As the Lord, Ahab had given up on the Lord God of Israel years and years ago. When Jeroboam, when the nation split, ungodly Jeroboam, he did put a calf up north and down south. But he meant those calves to be representative of God. He's disobeying and he's doing wrong. Ahab goes further. He kicks out the calf. He wants nothing that represents Almighty God. He brings in statutes and idols of Baal. He builds a temple to Baal. I mean, the word of God's very clear. He is an ungodly, filthy witch. And all his gods and all his goddesses, I'm going to need a real good day, are dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. Dead gods. Oh, Baal. Ahab's favorite God. He's the God of the weather. He's the God of agriculture. He's the God that can bless your gardens, bless your acreage to bear fruit. If I didn't know better, I'd think Almighty God was picking on old Baal a little bit here. Taking him on in his home field. You're the God of the weather. You're the God that can bless their crops. I'm fixing to make an announcement. Not going to be any dew. Not going to be any rain. Oh my, that's attacking a man very sensitive in his religion. And Jezebel, more of an adherent of Baal than even Elijah was. The Lord God of Israel liveth. I don't know if you're going to get it or not. Ahab, your God's dead.
Yeah, that's right.
I got one that liveth. The Lord God, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Could I preach that for about 60 seconds tonight? Oh, I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I'm a sinless Savior. And He came to earth. And He lived 33 sinless years. And they did crucify Him. They did put Him to death. But oh, have you heard? He didn't stay dead, thank God. Up from the grave He arose. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. As the Lord God of Israel liveth. I'm glad I got a God who's alive. He's on the throne. Hallelujah to His name tonight. As the Lord God of Israel liveth. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament how God liked to make fun of their idols? Isaiah talked about how they'd take a hammer, act like a carpenter, and build their silly little idols. Oh, I got to say this. I'm glad I didn't make my God. I'm glad my God made me.
Amen.
God would mock those idols. He would say, they got eyes, but they can't see. They got ears, but they can't hear. They got mouths, but they can't talk. Could I brag on God just a minute? He's got ears, and the last time I was with Him, He's still hearing. Hallelujah. Thank God He's got eyes, and He's still seeing. He's got a mouth. Thank God He's still talking through His Word. Hallelujah. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Before whom I stand. Before whom I stand. What had Elijah been doing since he was a teenager out there in that rut? Before whom I stand. What did he do on his 25th birthday? Before whom I stand. What did he do when he turned 30? Normal time for a young Jew. Oh, before whom I stand. What did he do last week before this confrontation with Ahab? Before whom I stand. I want to make an announcement. If we'll spend more time standing before God in the presence of God, adoring Almighty God, we'd be bolder. We'd get more done for our God. Before whom I stand. Most people, there had not been a real prophet in Israel for quite some time before Elijah. Jezebel would kill all of them she could. Oh, I know. There's 7,000 of them. God said, I got 7,000. There ain't none of them doing no preaching. There ain't none of them confronting the evil and the sin. God brings this man Elijah on the scene. This man. To all the other prophets, Ahab looked real big. And I guess he should have. Richest man on earth. Commands the most powerful army in existence. But somehow I got a feeling when Elijah looked at Ahab that day, Ahab didn't look that big. Somehow I think he didn't look that big. Somehow I think he didn't even look that big. What would make your enemy get smaller? If the bigger your God gets, the smaller your enemy gets. Hallelujah. Oh my, I get to thinking that before whom I stand. If I can spend some time in the presence of my God. Let me tell y'all something. Preaching at Burke County, it's an honor, but it is a daunting task. I prayed I want to be able to feed God's people who've gathered here tonight. And I realize many churches are represented. I want to love you all. I want us to be edified. It's a daunting task. I'm not up to it. I can't do it in my psyche. I can't do it. I'm an introvert. I can't do it in my personality. But I tell you what I've done today. I've tried to stand before God. I've tried to spend some time in the Word of God. I'm glad God, standing in God's presence, will equip us for the job. Before whom I stand. Y'all pray I can speed up. Well, my text, I've been preaching 29 minutes and we hadn't got to the birds yet. Elijah's delivered the sermon. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, according to my word. I wonder if they laughed at him. I wonder that day when that old country preacher turned around and walked away, if somebody snickered. I wonder if somebody said, I don't guess he's ever heard about Baal, has he? He sure is an ignorant fellow. And does he know who he just confronted? That's King Ahab. It's a miracle he's walking out of here alive. They probably laughed at him. But let me say this. It didn't thunder for quite a while in Israel. There was no rain. As the days became weeks, as the weeks became months, as the months became years, don't you imagine that ungodly king's mind went back to that short sermon he heard from that straight, stubby-fingered little old preacher. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? That, oh my, and it did not rain. Verse 2, we got to go to verse 8 so you see my dilemma. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, I just got to talk about that a little bit. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this is a literary device called, listen to me, personification. Hold your notes and let me have your Bible. That's a book. It's a holy book. It's a perfect book. It's an inspired book. But nonetheless, it is a book. Bible means library, Biblos books. But my text says, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. The verb there is bo. It's a Hebrew verb. It means the word of God got up, the word of God stretched out, and the word of God came alive, and the word of God walked up to Elijah, and the word of God said, this is next. This is the next move to make. Oh my, is there anybody in this building? You's alone in your study one morning. You's out there in the backyard having your devotions, and the word of God got up. The word of God came alive. The word of God spoke to your heart. It's like God showed up. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad it's a living book tonight? The word of the Lord came unto him saying, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, verse 3, get thee hence. The Hebrew there is walk away. H-A-L-A-K. Get thee hence. Turn thee eastward. Don't go north. Nope, south won't work. West wouldn't do that. Turn thee eastward and hide thyself. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Help me count the commands. Get thee hence, there's one. Turn thee eastward, there's two. Hide thyself by the brook. There are three orders three commands from God in staccato, 1, 2, 3 fashion. Oh. Hide thyself. Hide thyself. I'm going to say this. If you in your mind will fast forward ahead to Elijah's contest with those false prophets of Baal, you'll understand what I mean. Elijah, going to need about 2 amen, never ran from a fight in his life. He was not a coward. He'd stand up to any issue at any time. And God said, go hide yourself. Preacher, what I'm saying, that's against the nature of this prophet of God. Go hide yourself. I doubt he really wanted to go hide. I think he wants bout too with King Ahab. I think he, knowing Elijah, you all don't reckon Elijah would be guilty of a little frivolity sometime, do you? Hey, boys, keep praying to your God, Baal. I think he might be on vacation. I think he might have fallen asleep. I think if you'd just do a little more hollering, you might wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I expect Elijah, rather than hiding himself, would like to show up to Ahab every now and then and say, you heard any thunder lately? Have you seen any lightning lately? Preacher, I didn't mean to push you that hard with your back. I'm sorry. And all I'm saying is that God said, no, you'll walk away from get thee hence, turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that's before. God is going to protect his man. Ahab and his posse will never be able to lay hands on him. And God's not only going to protect him, will he get an amen? God's going to feed him over there too. Where? Cherith. Brook, that word brook does not mean a big, wide, flowing river. The word they would use in Israel now is wadi, W-A-D-I. It's a little bitty trough of water. It only flows when it's rained. And there's enough moisture to let it trickle. Otherwise, it's a dried up creek bed. And that's where God is sending his prophet Elijah. By the brook Cherith. Oh, I've got to show y'all this. That word Cherith. Are y'all still listening to me? I don't want it to be a lecture. I don't want it just to be a lesson. I want it to be a message from the Word of God, verse by verse by verse. But I've got to tell you this about the book Cherith. It means to cut. To cut. It means to take something and break it in two. Let me try this. You're listening so well. God will use the hard times in your life. God will use the dry times. God will use the difficult times in your life to cut you, to break you, to polish you, to mold you. Surely I'm going to get an amen into the man or the woman he wants you to be. The brook Cherith. Elijah's a great man of God already, but God's not through with him yet. And I love every one of you preachers here, but God's not through with us yet either. By the brook Cherith. Let's see what is going to happen. Verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. God's going to put water in the brook, even though it's not raining. God can do that. Could I get an amen? It shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook. And God said, I have commanded. Look at the verb. I have commanded thee. Give me that next word. I have commanded the to feed thee there. That's a promise. It's a miraculous promise. It's an unprecedented promise. But it is a promise. Oh my, I'm chasing rabbits tonight. I got a promise. It's a miraculous promise. It's an unprecedented promise. Preacher, what is your promise? Hope I get an amen. Jesus is coming again. Does anybody believe one of these days the trumpet of God's going to sound and the voice of the archangel's going and the dead in Christ and we that are alive and remain? It's unprecedented. It's never happened before. It is miraculous, but you mark her down. God's going to keep His word. Got some birds and they're going to feed you and you'll drink of the water. Verse 5. So he went. God said, get thee hence. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Preacher, he obeyed all three commandments. Get thee hence, head to the east, get by the brook Cherith. He obeyed 1, 2, 3, and he did it. 1, 2, 3. That might be worth 2 minutes of preaching right there. When God tells you to do something, obey Him. Need an amen. One step at a time. One step at a time. If you look at everything, if you try to figure it all out in mass, it'll scare you. It'll frighten you. Take it one step at a time. Can I get another amen right there? Watch. I know you've heard it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, the psalmist told us that. This is what I read. Of course, they did not have flashlights in those days. They did not have big beacons. All they had, and they called them foot lamps. Foot lamps. God's word is a light under my foot lamps. You got a lamp right there at your foot. Just a little candle. I can't see 5 feet ahead, but the little candle lets me see one step ahead. I take that step, guess what? I can see one more step. I take that step, I got light. Somebody nod at me, please. Thy word is a light unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet, or something like that. I'm trying to get it King James wise. I'm telling you, hallelujah to God. Take it one step at a time. If you're in a liberal church and God tells you to get out of that church, get out of that thing. Well, he didn't tell me where to go. That might be step two. That might be step three. You obey it as God gives it to you. Get thee hence. Go down there by the brook. Go down there where Cherith is. Head toward the east as you do it. He went and dwelt by the brook. I got to say something else. Twice we're told it's by the Jordan. By the Jordan. This is 5 minutes of preaching, and I choose not to do it. But you need to study that Jordan River. The word Jordan means, I'm sure you know this, descending. Descending. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Jesus called his disciples at the Sea of Galilee, which is fed by the Jordan River. And the Jordan, like I say, I can't go into all of Jordan means going down, 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 and down. And that's exactly where God's got Elijah right now. Fellas, remember, God had to give Paul a thorn in the flesh. Why did God have to give Paul a thorn in the flesh? For the abundance of the revelations that were given in him. Every new day, God would show up and give Paul some scripture. Paul's the most scripture-oriented man in the book. My goodness, he wrote 14 books, if we got it right, attributing Hebrews to the Bible. Oh my, and God said, I show up and talk to you so much, I've given you so many, your head would get big. Your head would swell. I got to give you a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble. I've got to give you something to hold you back, or you'd get so vain and so proud. I wouldn't be so sure that God sent Elijah down there by the brook Cherith, cutting and trimming on him. God sent him down there by the Jordan River going down and down so Elijah wouldn't get vain. Not going to rain for 3.5 years and it doesn't rain for 3. Calling fire down. I know of 4 times he called fire down out of heaven. God knows when to cut us. God knows when to trim us. God knows when to bring us down a notch or two. By the Jordan. By the Jordan. I don't know what verse I'm in, but I'll be able to find it. Oh, verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Why are the ravens acting that way? God commanded. God commanded. Anybody here believe God can command the animals? You realize you just put yourself in a very eccentric category of people. You believe God can command the animals? See if you'll agree. I believe he can tell a rooster when to crow. I believe he can tell fish when to move from one side of the boat to the other side of the boat. I believe he can tell a little fish with a coin in its mouth just when to come up enough to bite a hook. Simon Peter's about to drop. I believe he can tell a donkey when to talk. Amen. And he climbed on a little old wild animal one day on whom never had man set, and he rode him into the city of Jerusalem. I guess he can tame one with a single word. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God can command. This is a PL stem Hebrew verb. God commanded with might. God commanded with vigor. God's telling them, it is not the nature of ravens to share their supper. This is as good a time as any, having to watch a clock so closely of my own doing. I'm just not going to try to wear you out and bore you. Those ravens, 2 feet tall, Bible land ravens, 2 feet tall. I read, and I've read it in 3 places, their wingspan, 53, 54 inches. They're big birds. They'll eat rabbits. They'll eat rats. They'll eat moles. There's many a record in the ancient Near East of them attacking baby lambs, baby goats. They are voracious animals. Strong wings. They really know how to fly. There have been folks who've observed them, said those ravens just go on flight exercises. They've been seen doing barrel rolls. They've been seen flying in loops. Said you ought to see one of them silly boy ravens when he's courting a little girl raven. Said he'll put on a flying display that is absolute. Boys act crazy around girls anyway. Say amen. And said he'll just put on the money. There are illustrations in history of ravens listening to music. They're brilliant birds. They've got the size brain in ratio to their body as any of the primates that are supposed to be so smart. And said they'll listen to music for hours. They love their mates. Ravens, though they're unclean animals, they are monogamous. He'll love his mate for all his life. Mama and Daddy Raven make excellent parents, but back to where I started. They don't like to share their food. God has commandeered the nature of these little birds, and they're fixing to feed a man of God every morning and every evening for 3.5 years. Now let me ask it, are y'all still with me? Do you still believe? I can't help but wonder, where'd they get the food? Where'd they get the food? Maybe God dealt with them and they'd just kill that rabbit and bring it to Elijah. I don't know. Maybe it's a possibility. Maybe the food they would have taken their young, God somehow rewired them and now they're taking it to Elijah. I'm sure God would take care of the young as well. But I got another maybe. I like to think this. I like to think up at the royal palace where Ahab's getting his supper prepared, that the royal chef might have set the royal chicken pie right out there on the ledge one day. Maybe a little bit of dessert to go with it. He's just going to let it cool a bit before they feed the monarch. And guess what happens? Thank God, here swoops in a raven. Off goes the pie. Here swoops in a raven. I'm telling you, God gave him meat. God gave him flesh. Are y'all still with me? For 3.5 years. The ravens fed the man. That's what it said. Obadiah, a good man, a godly man under the reign of Ahab. And Ahab would have killed him if he'd never. Ahab took 100 prophets, 100 godly prophets, put 50 of them in a cave over here, 50 of them in a cave over here, protected them, never told Ahab about them. Ahab would have killed all of them and fed them bread and water twice a day. Hope you'll smile. God beat that, didn't he? Amen. God said, I'm going to feed them bread and flesh and water. Oh my, you know what's dawning on me. Last night, I preached about a crowd that wanted flesh. They grumbled against God and had to have some flesh. Tony, they got their flesh. Quails aplenty. But God sent leanness to their soul. God took away a lot. That crowd wanted flesh, and they got the wrath of God. Elijah didn't even ask for flesh. He trusted God, and God gave him flesh and blessed the daylights out of him while he did. I mean, it's just right there it is in the text, verse 7. And the raven, well, 6, the ravens brought him bread and flesh, and he drank of the brook, and it came to pass. Came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. How am I going to, preacher, I got to look at my timer. 50 minutes. Can y'all go 10 more minutes? I need a few more of you. Can you go 10 more minutes? I'll be done, God willing, in 10 minutes. Is there anybody in this building? God didn't use a raven, maybe. It might not even have been a miracle in the appearance of mankind. Is anybody in this building, God's used somebody? God's used something to meet a need in your life somewhere down through your career. Oh, man. The list is so long it would prohibit me to tell you about the ravens God has sent our way. And I got to faith. Anybody believe God can supply all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord? Anybody believe He can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think for that? That's our God. Hallelujah. As I close, still got 9 minutes, but as I close, I want you to be thinking of some folks God used to help you, to encourage you, to meet a need in your, some ravens God sent in with a little nourishment and with a little blessing. I gotta read verse 7. Came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. The brook, am I reading that right? The brook dried up. I got a sneaking suspicion every brook God sends sooner or later will dry up. Brother Bagwell, that sounds a little harsh and it sounds a little cruel. You think my brook will dry up? I wouldn't be surprised our brooks will dry up for this reason. God does not want us trusting the brook. God wants us trusting Him as our provider. The brook dried up. I don't know how many times in our ministry God was using somebody, what a blessing they were to us, and they'd die, or they'd move, or they'd lose their job, and the brook would dry up. Don't you feel sorry for me? God's been good. God's met every need. I'm glad my God's bigger than any brook that'll ever dry up. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord, y'all remember where I quit reading? And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, and I just put dot, dot, dot. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, dot, dot, dot. The brook just dried up. Soon as the brook dried up, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, dot, dot, dot. See if you get it. Holler amen if you do. There is a widow lady. Y'all didn't get that. There is a widow lady. Now she's out of the country. She's a foreigner. But she's up there, and I'm going to use that widow lady. Boy, if it's humiliating to go out and sit down by a brook, let the birds feed you. Think about living off a widow lady who's on starvation diet. I've got a widow. If the brook dries up, God's got him another means of supplying our need. Hallelujah. Wow. I just love thinking about it. I mean, look. I'm about where I want to be, time-wise. Still got 6 minutes. I want you to do something tonight. We're not Elijahs. None of us would aspire to claim any such power or authority for ourselves. But we are sons of God. We are children of God. And I'd just like to believe that every now and then when God sends in a raven, every now and then when God says, Brother Don will get upset at me. Oh, he's back there. Preacher told it right. We had not spent a minute together all week, and so we met at lunch today. Just for a bit of fellowship, sweet fellowship, I might add. And let the record show, I need some amens. He didn't grumble about a thing the whole meal. We got ready to go. I had my wallet ready. Fully intending, would have bought everybody's meal, but certainly intending to buy Deb's and mine. And a kind hand was laid on my arm. And somebody said, put your money up, preacher. Said, we got the meal covered. Now that may seem like a little thing to you. That might seem insignificant to me. But in my mind and in my heart, it is just like a raven flew in. And God provided in some more way to His honor and His glory. Debbie and I've got a little family. They don't live far from the house. They're poor folks. And a little broken handwriting sent us a little note through the mail. It said, Brother Bagwell, we ain't got much, and I think that's about, said, but we're going to send $10 a month. We're going to send $10 a month to help you buy gas, help meet needs in your life and in your ministry. And I think Debbie could tell. I believe since then they've upped it to 20, maybe even to 25. You know what that is to me? That's not just some poor, that's the ravens coming in. That's God meeting a need. That's God helping me. I'm not an Elijah, but I'm glad I've seen some ravens in my lifetime. They're dirty birds, but boy, God can do something through His nature, through His creation, and meet our needs. Hallelujah. And then I've seen the brooks dry up. Oh my, dear preacher, he and his wife helped us $25 a month, and he went home. Not many months ago, he went home to be with us. The brook dried up. The brook dried up. I thought, boy, that's over with. And we thank God. And we go right on. And we keep on serving God. But oh, guess what? His widow hadn't missed a gift. Hadn't missed a check yet. I wasn't expecting it. Didn't want it. But oh my, God can keep the ravens coming in. That's enough time. I want everybody to think of a raven God's used somewhere in your life. And tonight, either at that altar, or if you prefer, at your pew, thank God for the ravens. Thank God for the blessings. Thank God for the provisions. Preacher, I'm going to do this. If there's somebody in this building tonight, and the Holy Ghost nudges you to do it, and they've been a blessing to you, this preacher wouldn't care if you leave your pew. You go to them and shake their hand, hug their neck, and say, I appreciate you. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the way God's used you. It wouldn't hurt us to encourage one another, to exhort. I think that's a Bible word. To exhort one another. Let's let each other know we love one another and we're fellowship. That, I'm through. If you'll say amen. Thank God for the ravens. Hallelujah. And thank God when the brook dries up, God's got some other means of meeting our needs. Hallelujah. Let's stand with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Our musicians will come.